bunch of regulars missing. Okay, the first thing I want to do is tell you that Thursday is an open lab. Okay, so there aren't any classes with me, at least on Thursday. Lindsay and I will be here during most of the day, either one or the other or both of us, from 9:30 until 5. So it's the time to come, get caught up, bring work that you're behind on, and ask questions and get caught up. If you're caught up, then you get a day off. Okay, so... And it's your choice whether you want to come or whether you work more productively at home. But I think people tend to, if they get behind, it helps to have somebody here they can ask questions of. So anyway, we will have an open lab from 9:30 to 5 on Thursday. Okay, we have finished up looking at JavaScript. I'm going to just go over something about programming. And then we're going to start looking at numbering systems. When we put this course together, the faculty kind of sat down and said, what did they want in an introductory course? And numbering systems was one of the things they wanted you to have run into before. Okay, so we're first going to talk about getting a program working. And basically, you write your code. Sitting at a screen, you write your code. And then that code gets submitted to something that will translate it, either a compiler or an interpreter. If you have the book, by the way, this is covered in back in chapter one. I like to save it until you've actually done some programming because I think it makes more sense at that point. So it goes to a compiler or an interpreter, and their job is to translate high-level code into machine code. Okay, so they're translating high-level code into machine code. The compiler does it all at once. So some languages, basically, you submit it, and it checks the whole language, the whole code that you wrote, and gives you the errors that you made. Other languages, more like JavaScript, will go through and tell you when it encounters an error. So that's an interpreter. They will go through and tells you if it encounters an error. If you find errors in that, then you have to go back to the code and fix them. And these kind of errors are called syntax errors. Okay? They're misuse of the language. So if I spell something wrong, if I wanted to add and I wrote odd, that's a syntax error because it doesn't know how to do an odd. If I wanted to have a quote around something, if I only put one set of quotes and then don't put the second set of quotes in, it can't figure out what's going on and I get a syntax error. So I take those errors, I look at them, I go back to the code, I fix them, then I go back to the compiler or interpreter and get its analysis again. When it's finally working, then what I end up with in memory is the machine code. Can't spell. So I end up with the machine code. And this is a language that you don't want to write. Okay? It takes a long time to generate machine code. And essentially, we write in high-level languages, which are close to pseudocode, a little more Englishy, and we let the computer translate it into machine language or into machine code. Okay? And there are varying levels of machine code, but we're talking here about getting it down to the lowest level that it can then execute. Now, in some languages, this is invisible. In others, you have to actually write something like run to make it run. you have to do something to actually make it run. And others, by you start out at the beginning and tell it to run, it does its best job of compiling, and if that works, it goes ahead and runs. So it depends on the language, whether the difference between compiling and machine being run is kind of invisible, or whether you actually have to tell it to do something. So feeding into this, we now put data if we need it. So we can feed in data to the machine code as we're executing it. And the data can be from the keyboard. It can be, we tell it to read a disk, a file on a disk, a table, a database, whatever. We tell it to read data. And it can be multiple sources. It can be reading from a disk and also taking things in from the keyboard. So the data comes in. The output from this is going to be maybe a file or a table on a disk. Maybe something on the screen. Maybe something on paper. Whatever. But you're going to get output probably. And that output is going to be something like a file that you put on a disk, or you change a file on a disk, a file came in, you made changes to it, you put it back out. Okay. When you look at the output, you have to check. Okay, you need to check the output. And you are looking for logic errors, as opposed to syntax errors. And if you find errors, then you go all the way back to the code. You have to fix it in the code, recompile or get it ready for machine code, and then run it again. Okay? So those are logic errors. And the difference is that, let's say you have a paycheck program, and instead of multiplying pay per hour times hours worked, you added pay per hour times hours worked, plus hours worked. Okay, that's not going to give you the right answer. If you work 40 hours and you make $40 an hour, you don't want somebody adding those up and saying, okay, your pay is 80. You want them doing the multiply. The computer doesn't know what you want, so that's not a syntax error, because adding is fine. And so that is a logic error. You added instead of multiplied, okay? Or you did something else that wasn't correct. You had your loop in too early. You had your if statement check the wrong thing. Those are logic errors. And those can be caught by people, not by the machine, because they don't know whether you wanted to add or multiply, okay? So that's a logic error. Now, once you think the program is working, that's not good enough. Somebody else has got to check it and make sure as well. And usually you will have sample data that you use to test, and somebody knows the answers that should come out, and they put in all of the problems that they interpret, they think might go wrong. And so you run it on test data that somebody else prepared, and see if your output is correct, okay? The other thing you have to look at is the output you produce on a disk, let's say, may be being read by another program. And maybe you made a mistake and you didn't save something, a field on here, when you laid it out, you didn't put the state, or you didn't put the department. And this other second program needs the state or needs the department. So they can't read the disk correctly because it's missing some data. And if they can't read the disk correctly, then there's a problem, because this program has to prepare information for another program to read. And if that's not correct, then it's not going to work. So all those things are part of the testing and making sure that the program is good. Okay, On one of the ones you did in class last Thursday, several people made a mistake where they took in the beverage and the food, and let's say that added to $100. And then you were doing tax and tip, and several people got like the $100, then they did tax and tip and subtracted them from the thing. So the bill was $100 before tax and tip, and then it was $50 after you added in tax and tip. Okay. Clearly, they were happy to see output, and they didn't check the output. It was just, I got output, and I'm done. Okay? You have to check the output and run the calculations yourself and see if you're coming up with the right answer. Okay? Because clearly, tax and tip should not reduce your bill, or else we're all going to go to that restaurant. Okay? So tax and tip should not reduce your bill. Questions? Okay, then we are going to start looking at this handout right here, which is called Numbering Systems and Code. Okay, I wrote that handout many years ago. And so the code part of it is out of date. We're going to look at ASCII. I think the handout looks at IPSCDIC. So we're going to look at a newer code. But it is a fine handout for numbering systems because the binary numbering system hasn't changed in a million years and it's not going to change, okay? So the handout works fine for numbering systems. So just keep that in mind. Use this for numbering systems, not for the code. Okay. Just as a refresher, decimal, which is a numbering system, has two components to it, face value and positional value. So the positional value is 10 to the 0, which is defined as 1. 10 to the 1st is 10, 10 squared is 100, 10 cubed is 1,000. So the 5 is in the thousands position. If the 5 was someplace else, it would have a different value, because in the thousands position, it's worth 5,000. But if the 5 had been where the 2 is, in the tens position, then it's only worth 50. So the 5 is got a value that is based on the digit and on its position. Okay? And so when I actually figure out, I don't do this, but when you actually figure out, it's 5 times 10 to the 3rd, which is 5 times 1,000, is equal to 5,000, plus 7 times 10 squared, which is 7 times 100, which is 700, 2 times 10 to the 1st, and 4 times 10 to the 0, and that's actually how I came up with the number. We all do that without even realizing we're doing it. But now that we're starting to look at other numbering systems, it's good to kind of remember that that's true in decimal too. So what we're going to look at is binary first. And binary is related to the fact that the computer has bits that are on or off. There's two states, on or off, 0 or 1, okay? So we are going to look at the binary system because the binary system is how things are represented in memory. Okay. Every character that you hit on the keyboard will produce a code that is made up, if we use ASCII, which we're going to use, of 8 binary bits. So 8 bits makes a byte, and we have 8 bits making a character. Okay, so we have to know about binary, especially if we end up having to look and get a dump out of memory and see what's in there. So binary is one of those things that the faculty thinks you should know. Okay, so I start out and I have a number, 1011011. Okay. And the face values are those ones and zeros there. So it is 101101, okay? The face value is only part of what I'm looking at. I also have to look at the positional value. So the positional value that's furthest to the right is 2 to the 0, which is defined as 1. And then we go to 2 to the 1st, which is 2, 2 squared, which is 4, 2 cubed, which is 8, 2 to the 4th, 16, 2 to the 5th, 32, 2 to the 6th, 64, and we can keep going as long as we need to, okay? Everything is just 2 to the 1 more power, okay? So, if I want to find out what this number is, I multiply its face value. Good job. Don't touch. You multiply its face value times its positional value. So I started to the left doing the multiply. I could have started to the right. It doesn't matter what order I start doing the multiply. The 1 times 2 to the 6 is 1 times 64 is 64. The next one is a 0 times 2 to the 5th. 0 times 32 is 0. The next one is 1 times 2 to the 4th, which is 1 times 16. The next one is 1 times 2 to the 3rd, which is 1 times 8. The next one is 0 times 2 squared, which is 0 times 4, which is 0. 1 times 2 to the 1st is 1 times 2. And then 1 times 2 to the 0 is 1 times 1. I'm not reading it across right. Okay? 1 times 1. I add those up, and it's 91. So, to do that conversion, what I had to do is multiply face by position. Okay, so usually when I do that, I don't write it all out. I just start out and say, okay, let's say I want 101101. And I write 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. Or actually, unless it goes a little further, I may not even write them out. I just know what they are. So 1 times 32 is 32. 0 times 16, I don't even have to write it down there because that's 0. 1 times 8 is 8. 1 times 4 is 4. 0 times 2, I won't even deal with. And 1 times 1 is 1. So if I add this up, I get 45. So 101101 in binary is 45 in decimal. And we write the little number down there, and you've got multiple numbering systems. That number tells you what you're in. Are you in decimal? Are you in binary? Where are you? So that is the decimal equivalent of that binary number. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's try this one. Figure out what that is. Yeah.
125.
I don't know, I haven't done it. 125? Anybody come up with 125 when you do?
8, 16, 32, 64. That's roughly right. That would be roughly right, just looking at it quickly. But I don't, I, as I said, I haven't written them down yet.
What was it, 120?
125, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay, so writing the powers under it, and 64 is on, so I use it. 32 is on, so I use it. 16 is on, 8 is on, and 1 is on. Okay, so that is going to be 100, I'm getting 121.
Yeah, I just read it, I got one.
Huh?
I just read it, I got 121 as well.
Okay. You go 121? Okay, is everybody buying 121? Because I've been known to add wrong too.
6, 12, 21. That looks like 121. Would somebody reassure me?
Yes, please use the calculator.
Use the calculator. Okay. I'm going to have you try one more. I'm getting 271, and so a couple of other people have confirmed that. Okay. So this one had the 256 is on, because there's a 1 there. Then the next thing that's on is an 8, 4, 2, and 1. And so when I add those up, I get 271. Okay, so that was converting binary to decimal. Okay, if I give you the decimal, if I give you the decimal, then you have to go through and do the obvious, the opposite conversion. So if we start out with the 271, okay, and we're going to convert that back. So I'm going to first write out the powers to 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, and the next one would be 512, which is bigger than 271. So clearly I don't need that, because I'm going to be picking which ones I can use. So 512 So I've got 271, and the first one I can use is 256, right? So I put a 1 there saying I can use that. So I've started out with 271, and I subtract 256 from it, and it leaves me 15. Okay? So that means I can't use the 128, so I put a 0. I can't use the 64. I can't use the 32. I can't use the 16. So I keep putting zeros in for them. I can use the 8. So I put a 1 there, and I subtract 8 from 15, and I've got 7 left. Which means I can use the 4. So I subtract 4, and I've got 3 left. Which means I can use the 2. So I subtract 2, and I've got 1 left. Which means I can use the 1. So I've got that there. So that's how I convert the other way. Is I write down the powers, and then I start figuring out which ones I can use. And when we go to look at other numbering systems, these techniques are the same, basically. So no matter what numbering system you're converting to and everything, these are the same kind of techniques. Okay. So that was converting decimal to binary. So I'm going to give you one other and have you try this. Let's go with 586. Okay, what's somebody got?
0001010. I started with 512.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm not sure that I don't think I got that, but I also was doing it in my head, so who knows. Okay, so 586, and we're using 512, right?
Yep.
And so that leaves me, that's funny, that's not writing right. That leaves me 74, right? So I put the 1 in there, and then that leaves me 74. So I've got a 0 here and a 0 here, but I can use the 64.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can use the 64, and that leaves me 10 left.
Yep.
So I can't use the 32, I can't use the 16, but I can use the 8. And that leaves me 2 left. So I can't use the 4, but I can use the 2. And that leaves me 0, so I can't use the 1. Okay, did anybody come up with that?
I just said the wrong thing. I didn't have.
Okay. Yeah, I was just counting, and you said I think a 0 for the 64.
I did.
Questions? Okay. So that is converting back and forth between binary and decimal. So if I come down here and look at the next thing, it's counting in binary. Okay? 1 plus 9 in decimal is 1 0. 9 plus 1 is 1 0. And why is that? Because there are digits that go up through 9, and when we use 9, we run out of digits. So we move over to the next place. So 9 plus 1 is 1 0. Well, the same thing holds true in binary. If I start out, I've only got 0 and 1. So 1 plus 1, I can't do. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1 0. Okay? Because I've run out of digits. My digits are 0 and 1. So 1 plus 1 is 1 0. Okay, 1 plus 1 is 1 0. Just like in decimal, 1 plus 9 is 1 0. Because I've used the last digits, I have to move over to the next position. And here I've used the last digit, I've got to move over to the next position. Then the next one is adding 1, becomes 1, 1. 1 plus 0 is 1, 1, so it's 1, 1. And then I add one more to that. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. So the next thing is 1, 0, 0. So I'm up to 4 now. And notice if I put a 1, 2, and 4 under that, it's the 4 that's turned on. Okay, so I'm up to 4 now. Plus 1 is 1, 0, 1. Because 1 plus 0 is 1. 0, 1, 1, 0, 1. And again, notice that if I write the 4, 2, 1 under that, 4 and 1 are turned on. That's a 5. Okay, if I write 4, 2, 1 underneath this, the 4 and the 1 are turned on, which is a 5, so that's equivalent to a 5. One more. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1, 1, 1. 1, 1, 0 plus 1 is 1, 1, 1. 1 and 0 is 1, 1, 1. Plus 1 more. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay? And I can keep going forever on this. But that's how I count in binary. Okay? And again, if I look at this 1 0 0 0, 8 4 2 and 1, the 8's turned on, so that's the number 8. 1 0 0 0 is equivalent to an 8 because it's the 8 that's turned on. Okay. So that's counting in binary. Questions? Okay. Next, we're going to get into the hexadecimal numbering system. Okay. Hexadecimal is base 16. And let me pull this down a little bit so that the thing I have up above is not squashing the letters. Hexadecimal is base 16. And we'll see then in a minute why we use hexadecimal. But ASCII is 8 binary bits. And if you divide that into 2 groups of 4 binary bits, you'll see in a few minutes that 1 hexadecimal digit is equal to 4 binary bits. So every hexadecimal digit can be expressed with 4 binary bits, and every 4 binary bits can be expressed with 1 hexadecimal digit. And so that's why hexadecimal is used, because if I dump memory and want to see what's in memory someplace, it is a lot easier to read it if the dump comes out in hexadecimal, where every character takes 8 binary bits, which can be turned into 2 hexadecimal. And that's just a lot easier to work with. And as I said, I'm mentioning that, but we're going to look at it after we finish looking at hexadecimal a little bit more. Okay. So hexadecimal is base 16, which means its positional values are powers of 16, decimal powers of 10. Binary powers of 2, this is powers of 16. So 16 to the 0 is defined as 1. 16 to the 1st is 16. 16 squared is 256. 16 cubed is 4096. And 16 to the 4th I don't have memorized. So I would have to sit down and write it out. Okay? So, again, like everything else, if I want to convert hexadecimal to decimal, I take and I multiply its base value times its positional value. Now, we have a problem here because we only know of the digits 0 through 9, and we need more than that if we got base 16. So our digits go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, E, F. And those are all considered digits, and they're written as capital A, B, C, D, E, F. Okay? And those are all considered digits. When we come to look at counting, which we will do in a minute, we will see that 9 plus 1 is A. Okay, so 9 plus 1 is A. So A is basically like a decimal 10. Plus 1 more is B. So that's basically like a decimal 11. So A is like a 10, B is like an 11. C is a 12, D is a 13. E is a 14 and F is a 15. Okay? So that's what those are equivalent to. So I started out here and I have a hexadecimal number that's A359. Okay? So I write A359 and I write the positions underneath it, 16 to the 0, 16 to the 1st, etc. And then I come down here and say, okay, to convert it to decimal, take the digit and multiply it by its position. So A times 16 to the 3rd is equivalent to 10 for A times 4096, which is equivalent to 40,960. 3 is in the 16 squared position. So 3 times 16 squared equals 3 times 256 equals 768. 5 is in the 16 to the 1st, so it's 5 times 16 to the 1st, which is 5 times 16, which is 80. And 9 times 16 to the 0 is 9 times 1, which is 9. And when I add those up, I get 41817. So that's how I can convert hexadecimal to decimal. And that's the same thing that we did with binary. We're multiplying the face value times the positional value. Okay. So we're multiplying face value times positional value. We add those up, and it comes out to a decimal, 41817. Okay. So if I gave you 5BE in hex, I ask you to convert that to decimal. 5BE. Should've said 1BE, so I didn't have to multiply. Anybody got an answer? I have no idea. 1470, anybody else? You're nodding yes? Okay. Anybody else get 1470? Anybody got something else? Okay, so 5 times 256. Is 1280, right? And then B is equivalent to an 11, right? So it's 11 times 16. Is 176. And E is a 14. So 14 times 1 is 14. Because E is equivalent to a 14. So now I add these up and I've got 1280 plus 176 plus 14. What did you have? Is that what you had?
I had 1470.
1470, so I can't add. 81670. That's a 7. Okay, 1470. Okay. Questions? Okay, so 1470. Now we can go the other direction, and we're going to convert decimal to hex. So I think I'm going to try to keep that. Do is to find out the biggest number that we can work with. So I start out here and I have the 116,256 and I obviously don't need 4,096. Okay? So I'm now converting from decimal to hex. So I've got 1470. Well, I don't read 4096 because that is bigger than what I've got, which is 1470. So I'm going the other way. So I'm going to write down here that I'm going to have the 16 to the 0, which is defined as 1, the 16 first, which is 16, and the 16 squared, which is 256. Okay? So my first job is to figure out how many 256s I can subtract from 1470. Okay, how many times I can use 256. Well, I can cheat here and know that it's a 5, but I can also go in and pretty much guess that it's a 5, because 250, 4 of them is 1,000, okay? 1250 would be 5 of them. So I'm 6 of them would be in the 1500s someplace, so I can guess that it's 5. Okay? So I'm saying, I think, and you can experiment for a while until you come up with the answer, but I think I can use 5 of them. Okay? So I put 5 there. That leaves me 1280. Okay? I mean, I'm sorry, that leaves me, I used 1280. So that means that I've now used 1280. So I've got 1470 minus 1280, which is what? 190? Okay, so I've got 190. So how many 16s can I use for 190? Well, 10 16s would be 160. Okay, 11 16s would be what? 176. Okay, so that seems reasonable. 176, so minus 176 leaves me 14. Okay, so I use 11 of these, and 11 in hex I write as a B. And then there's 14 left, and 14 is written as a what?
E.
Okay. So I've now gone back and forth between between hex and decimal, and decimal to hex. Okay. And this is a pain in the neck, this one to do. It's a total pain in the neck. But it's the way you can do the conversion. Okay, now there are also conversions on your calculator that you can check your answers on, but you should know how to play with it and just be comfortable with the numbering systems. Okay, moving on. The next thing that we're going to do is talk about counting in hexadecimal. So, 9 in decimal, 9 plus 1 is what?
8.
1 0, right? 9 plus 1. In binary, 1 plus 1 is 1 0. In hex, what do you think F plus 1 is going to be? Nope, no G's. We ran out at F's. Yeah. It's going to be 10. Because notice the pattern here. 9 is the highest decimal. When I add 1, I get 10. 1 is the highest binary. When I add 1, I get 10. F is the highest hex. When I add 1, I get 10. Okay? So if I count in hex, it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, E, F, 1, 0. 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4, 1, 5, 1, 6, 1, 7, 1, 8, 1, 9, 1, A, 1, B, 1, C, 1, D, 1, E, 1, F, 2, 0. 2, 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 2, 4, 2, 5, 2, 6, 2, 7, 2, 8, 2, 9, 2, A, 2B, 2C, 2D, 2E, 2F, 3-0, and so forth going on. What is FF plus 1? 100. Okay. FF plus 1. F plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus F is 1, 0. So FF is 1, 0. And then you start 101, 102, and so forth, and go through. So you're just adding extra digits in there. Okay? Now, the thing is, if you look at these two numbering systems, okay, I counted in each of them. And the thing that I want to point out is the 1111. The 1111 is an F in hexadecimal. So that means that I can represent 4 binary bits, okay? 4 binary bits, any group of 4 binary bits can be represented with 1 hex. One hex digit. And every hex digit can be represented with 4 binary bits. So that makes a perfect match between them. I can represent any 4 binary bits with 1 hexadecimal. And if I have 1 hexadecimal, I can show that with 4 binary bits. And if you look at the next page going down, you can see where I wrote the binary out using 4 digits, and that shows you that any combination of 4 binary bits can be represented with 1 hexadecimal, and any hexadecimal can be represented with 4 binary bits. And that's what makes it valuable, because ASCII has got 8 binary bits. And so if I have an ASCII code that something stands for 10101000, okay, instead of dumping that out, I can look at them as separate and say a 1010, okay, a 1010 is a what? A. And a 1000 is a what? 8. So I can basically say, if I would like my dump of memory in hex rather than binary. And it's a lot easier to read A8 than it is to read the 4 binary bits. And imagine, if you will, you know, a whole stream of this. And the whole stream going on and on, then it's really a lot easier to grasp 2 digits as opposed to 8. I mean, you have to draw lines when you have 8 to know where they end and where they begin. With 2, you can visually see it. Okay. So, because we have that a relationship, and this relationship wasn't, you know, magic. Hex was picked because it worked. If it didn't work, then I'd have to pick a different numbering system. But hex was picked because four binary bits could be translated. So that's why hex was picked. Okay, so. If I go down a little bit further, we get into conversion from hexadecimal to binary and binary to hex. Okay. So if I write out binary, and I say I would like to know what that is in hex. What is it?
ABAAF?
Could be. I haven't done it yet. No, F isn't the last thing. Okay, so the first thing I do is I start dividing them into groups of four, starting at this side. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're probably right. Okay, I've got a pattern going there that I didn't even see. Okay, so this is got, this is a 1. It's just like in numbers as you know them, leading zeros wouldn't hurt anything. So I treat that like there's 3 leading zeros in front of it to make it 4 characters, because leading zeros don't change. And then I've got, this is a 1. Now notice what you can do with these. We can write that famous 8421 on them, and that helps me to figure out what it is. So if I write the 8421, the 4, 2, and 1 are on, so that means that that is a 7. So you can come over here and look in the list and say, okay, that's a 7. Or you can turn the 8421 on, and that will tell you that it's a 7. Okay? And so here I've got the 8421, and only the 1 is on, so it's a 1. This is a 1. This one, the 8 and the 4 and the 2 are on, so that is a 14, so that's what? E. Okay, so this is 117, 11E. Let's try one more. So try that one. Anybody got it? Yeah.
FCAC7F?
I think so.
So again, if I turn on the 8, 4, 2, and 1, that gives me 15, and 15 is equivalent to an F. If I click on turn on, have the 8 and 4 turned on, that's a 12, which is what? C. And if I have the 8, 2 on, that's a 10, which is an A. We've already done this one, it's a C. This one has the 4, 2, and 1 on. 4, 2, and 1 makes 7. And this one is another version of the F. So I have FCAC7F.
So now, if I come up and I have the hex,
okay, so I have the hex now, and I give you that going to be in binary? What do I need to make an 8? What do I turn on?
One.
Just the 8, right? I just turn on the 8. So that's an 8, right? So 1000 is an 8. What about a D?
110.
So I've got the 8, 4, 2, and 1. And what did you say?
1101.
So that's 12, that's 13. Is that right? A is a 10, B is 11, C is 12, D is 13. So I've turned on the 8, the 4, and the 1. That's 13. Okay, so far I've got over here 1000, 1101. Now I got to do the E. What's the E going to be?
1110.
Because I turned on the 8, 4, and 2, and that made 14. 8, 4, and 2 made 14, and that's an E. So now I've got 1100. Okay,
what's a five?
You fixed that last one. You wrote it on the line there.
Oh, okay. You're right. 1110, right?
Yeah,
never gonna be able to, yeah. Never gonna happen. Okay, so how many mistakes left have I got? That one, so this is the first one of that, right?
Yep.
There, am I right now? Okay, what's a five?
0101.
That's right, 0101, because I've turned on the four and the one to make a five. So it's 0101. And then what's an A?
101.
Okay, an A is 1010, because I turned on the 82 to make 10. And 10 is equivalent to an A. So I've now got 1010. Okay, and this is my number. So that's how I can convert back and forth between binary and hex. So binary and hex is really easy. You can go back and forth between the two of those just by looking. And people, if they're having to read these a lot, get to the point that they know that it was D is a 1101. They don't have to even think about it. They know that that's the equivalent of what that's going to come out. So far what we've looked at is, and needless to say, you can expect a homework on it. So far what we've looked at is converting binary to decimal. And when we converted binary to decimal, we multiplied face value by position. Then when we came to working with hexadecimal, we were doing the same thing. Face value times position, okay? And then we have converting decimal to binary, and we write out the positions and figure out how many we can use. And that's fairly easy when you're dealing with binary. It becomes more complicated when you're dealing with hex. You know, how many 4096s can I fit in here starts to be a little more complicated. But we did convert binary to decimal, convert decimal to binary. And then we've come down here and we've got converting hexadecimal to decimal and decimal to hex. And then we went down and said, okay, now we're going to do converting from hex to binary and binary to hex. Okay. And in between there, we somehow did some counting. Okay, so that it does the counting that goes through binary, decimal, and hex. Okay. So what we're going to do next Tuesday is we're going to look at computer codes and a little bit of binary arithmetic. And that will wrap this up. Okay, so again, tomorrow's always the next day I see you. Thursday, we will have an open lab in here from 9:30 to 4. And you can come at any point and stay as long as you want or not come at all. There's no attendance requirement. This is to help you out and try to bail out a few people that are behind, or more than a few people that are behind. Okay, so hopefully, if you have problems, we will see you on Thursday. I will probably do that one more time toward the end of the semester and give you one other day, but it depends on how we do in class. Okay. So, we are done. If you have any questions, let me know. But other than that, we're done.
You're in my intro class, right? I'm on.
Yeah, sign on the dotted line. Yep.
Give a pen.
The is a computer class. Why do you need a pencil?
Actually,
I do.
Oh, can you see the
screen?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good
one. Thank
you.
Try that software.
Yeah.